Gregory Donald took a sip of scotch and looked across the crowded bar. "Do you ever find yourself thinking back, Kim? I don't mean to this morning or last week, but way back." Kim Kwon, deputy director of the Korean Central Intelligence Agency, used a red stirring straw to poke at the slice of lemon floating in his Diet Coke. "To me, Greg, this morning is way back, especially on days like these. What I wouldn't give to be on a fishing boat with my Uncle Puck and Young Young." Donald laughed.
"Is he still as feisty as he used to be?"
"Feistier. Remember how he used to have two fishing boats? Well, he got rid of one. Said he couldn't stand having a partner. But sometimes I'd rather be fighting fish in storms than bureaucrats. You remember what it was like?" From the corner of his eye, Juan watched as two men sitting beside him paid their tab and left. Donald nodded.
"I remember. That's why I got out."
Juan leaned closer, looked around. His eyes narrowed, and his clean-cut features took on a conspiratorial edge.
"I didn't want to say anything while the Seoul press editors were sitting here, but do you realize they've actually grounded my helicopters for today?"
Donald's brow arched with surprise.
"Are they crazy?"
"Worse. Reckless. The press monkeys said choppers crisscrossing overhead would make too much noise and ruin the sound bites. So if anything happens, there's no aerial recon."
Donald finished his scotch, then reached into the side pocket of his tweed jacket.
"It's upsetting, but it's like everywhere else, Kim. The marketers have taken over from the talent. It's that way in intelligence work, government, even at the Friendship Society. No one just jumps in the pool anymore. Everything's got to be studied and evaluated until your initiative is colder than Custer."
Juan shook his head slowly.
"I was disappointed when you quit to join the Dip Corps, but you were smart. Forget about improving the way the agency does business. I spend most of my time fighting just to maintain the status quo."
"But no one does it better."
Juan smiled.
"Because I love the agency, right?"
Donald nodded. He had withdrawn his Bloc Meerschaum pipe and a packet of Balkan Sobranja tobacco.
"Tell me, are you expecting any trouble today?"
"We've had warnings from the usual list of radicals, revolutionaries, and lunatics, but we know who and where they are and are watching them. They're like the kooks who call into Howard Stern show after show. Same cant, different day. But they're mostly talk."
Donald's brow arched again as he tapped in a pinch of tobacco.
"You get Howard Stern?"
Juan finished his soda.
"No. I heard bootleg tapes when we cracked a pirate ring last week. Come on, Greg, you know this country. The government thinks Oprah is too risque most of the time."
Donald laughed, and as Juan turned and said something to the bartender, his blue eyes once again moved slowly across the dark room.
There were a few South Koreans, but as it always was in the bars around the government building, it was mostly international press. Heather Jackson from CBS, Barry Burke from the New York Times, Gil Vanderwald from the Pacific Spectator, and others whom he didn't care to think about or talk to. Which was why he'd come here early and tucked himself into a far, dark corner of the bar, and why his wife, Soon-ji, hadn't joined them. Like Donald, she felt the press had never given him a fair shake, not when he was ambassador to Korea 20 years ago, and not when he became the advisor on Korean affairs for OpCenter just 3 months before. Unlike her husband, though, Soon-ji got angry about negative press. Gregory had long ago learned to lose himself in his vintage meerschaum, a comforting reminder that, like a puff of pipe smoke, a headline is just for the moment. The bartender came and went, and Juan turned from the bar, his dark eyes on Donald, his right forearm lying flat and stiff on the counter.
"So what did you mean by your question?" Juan asked.
"About thinking back."
Donald put in the last of the tobacco.
"Do you remember a fellow named Younggil Oh?"
"Vaguely," Juan said. "He used to teach at the agency."
"He was one of the founding fathers of the psychology division," Donald said. "A fascinating old gentleman from Daegu. When I first came here in 1952, Oh was just leaving. Being booted out, really.
The KCIA was trying hard to establish itself as a U.S.-style, state-of-the-art intelligence group. And when he wasn't lecturing on psychological warfare, Oh was busy introducing aspects of Chandokyo.
Religion in the KCIA? Faith and espionage?
Not exactly. It was a kind of spiritual, heavenly way approach to deduction and investigation he had developed. He taught that the shadows of the past and future are all around us. He believed that through meditation, by reflecting on people and events that were and will be, we could touch them.
And?
And they would help us see today more clearly.
Juan snickered. No wonder they dismissed him.
He wasn't for us, Donald agreed. And frankly, I didn't think O had all 10 toes on the ground. But it's funny.